Hey, thanks, Kane. 807 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings on this post-election Wednesday, and that's why it's so fantastic every Wednesday morning to talk with Jeff Poor, because Jeff knows about elections. Morning, Jeff.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Man, I know you've been busy crisscrossing the state just about as much as Kay Ivey and Walt Maddox have the last few weeks, mostly because you've been following them and other races around the state. But you'll be hosting Midday Mobile today as well, so it's a pleasure to have you on this morning. Thanks for joining us. Some of these races in Alabama, you know, basically went down the way everyone expected it to go down for these statewide races. You had the governor, Kay Ivey, winning her first election as governor and becoming the first female Republican elected governor of Alabama. She got about 60% of the vote, and it kind of broke down by those percentages for most of these statewide races. Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth will now be the second in line for that governorship. He got 61% of the vote over Will Boyd. Attorney General's race, Steve Marshall beat Joseph Siegelman, 59% of the vote going to Marshall. Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, Tom Parker, took care of Bob Vance Jr. Parker, the Republican, got 58% of that vote. So kind of broke down basically the way you've been saying it has for the last few weeks.
Yeah, and I think, well, whoever, first of all, whoever Walt Maddox has pollstered probably is not a pollster that anybody should use, because going into last night, I think the Maddox people are saying they were within the margin of error, and then they got blown out by 20 points. So what does that tell you? I mean, Alabama, I think the Doug Jones 2017 race was an anomaly. It was a fluke. I don't think we'll see that again. And, you know, looking at those results from top to bottom, we thought that Bob Vance race between Bob Vance and Tom Parker was going to be closer. Mm-hmm. It wasn't. So the Democratic Party in Alabama has some soul searching to do. They resisted the changes in leadership, but you know, right now, if you're looking at this the day after, I think that we're not a two-party state, and any hopes that this would become a two-party state have been lost. So that's probably the biggest takeaway. And you got to be looking at 2020. Barring any kind of crazy shenanigans that go on in a Republican primary, I think Doug Jones flips back to Republican. So that's kind of where we are at right now. What does this change? I mean, the Republicans were able to pick up a seat in their supermajority in the state house. I mean, it was a good night for Republicans in the state. I mean, you know, elsewhere that's a different story. But there was definitely a red wall around Alabama, this blue wave sort of washed over.
Yeah, for sure. And in those congressional districts, a clean sweep for all of the incumbents, so it's going to look the exact same that it's looked the last few years. You had Bradley Byrne winning in District 1. Martha Roby won District 2 with 62% of the vote. Byrne had 63% over Robert Kennedy Jr. And then Mo Brooks, Adderholt, Rogers, they all won. And then, of course, Democratic Congresswoman Terry Sewell from Birmingham, she ran unopposed. So those will look the same as they have. It's the same as they looked yesterday before the elections.
Yeah, and I don't think there's any surprises there. You know, there was some anxiety, maybe not nervousness, but and certainly anxiety that you didn't want to have what happened in 2006 happen here again. You didn't want a situation where a Democrat like a Bobby Bright or whoever could slip up and win a seat. I think a lot of Republicans were on guard. I know that the campaigns for these Republicans, all those that you just listed, we're on guard for something like that. Mm-hmm. Particularly Roby, particularly Mike Rogers, they were very active in their reelection bids, probably more than they needed to be.
And reading a little bit last night about, you know, the Congress staying the way it has here in Alabama, they're going to be able to draw the lines, right, coming up in 2021, the congressional and state district lines, and that'll stay in place through 2030. So that's a pretty big win for the Republicans.
Well, there is one question. Yeah, that's on a state level, but we got a census coming up. I think right now people are a little worried about Alabama losing a congressional seat. I think that's where all the focus is going to be, where these lines are drawn. That's a whole different story right there. Then we're looking at, you know, are we looking at the possibility of a Republican on Republican contest in 2022? But you know, a lot could happen. Senator Shelby could step aside, and one of these members of Congress could step up and run for his seat. There's a lot of those kinds of things that could happen. So we're a ways away from that discussion. But I think right now, at least statewide, all eyes are on 2020 and perhaps even in the near term, Darrell, the 2019 legislative session in Montgomery.
And Congressman Byrne, he said it on the debate that we had last Tuesday with Robert Kennedy Jr. and Congressman Byrne in here at the same time. He said he was exploring options for the Senate and reiterated that last night regarding that 2020 race against Doug Jones. But all four amendments that were on the statewide ballot passed last night. Was that any surprise?
No, and I think those the first two especially were get-out-the-vote amendments. Abortion and Ten Commandments, those are good hot-button issues to get Republicans fired up and go out and voted and go out to their polling precinct. I sort of think that was what the Republicans were on guard for. That's part of building that red wall is just a get-out-the-vote effort. And the state legislature saw this ahead of time and said, we need to put some stuff on the ballot that might get some Republicans out to vote. I think that was certainly the case. I don't know that it was totally necessary, but they are probably looking at it better safe than sorry. The other two amendments, the internal workings of the University of Alabama Board of Trustees and the way our special elections are done, I think maybe those were probably more practical amendments, but it's not a surprise that all four passed.
Jeff, Mark Holliday here, and I read your article on Breitbart about challenger Governor Scott defeating incumbent Senator Nelson. Scott declared victory early on, later on.
Was it this morning he finally?
Yeah, and Nelson conceded the defeat, but according to News 6 in South Florida, as of this morning, the Republican nominee, Scott, held a lead of 34,000 votes out of the over 8.1 million, or around 0.42%. And according to Florida law, anything less than one half of a percentage point triggers an automatic recount of all votes. What are your thoughts on that, Jeff?
I think when you get above the margin of 2,000 votes, it doesn't, it's going to be hard to overcome and really change the outcome of this election. It certainly was close. I think it was as close as people expected. But I think it's more of a formality. Whatever happens at this point, it's all going to be according to statute. I don't anticipate a big change there, and I don't think you'll see the Nelson folks take a lot of stock in that possibility.
The other question I have is the Georgia governor's race. Stacey Abrams is not conceding, continuing to fight on, even though she's only got a 48.5% to a 50.5% margin. And they're talking about a runoff in this race. What's going on there?
Yeah, I think when that call was made Brian Kemp, the Republican nominee, hadn't crossed that 50% threshold, or it was a possibility that once all the ballots were in and all the votes were counted, that he still wouldn't meet that 50% threshold, and that would have triggered the runoff because right. It's a third-party candidate. You had the write-ins, of course. But it doesn't look like that's going to be the case. As that goes, I'm not sure people really want to see a runoff after that race, but
oh, no.
that was, I think, the thinking there from Stacey Abrams late last night when she didn't concede and she came out and addressed her supporters.
And that, of course, was one of the most talked about races heading into the elections yesterday. But nationally, Democrats, of course, regained control of the House while the Republicans retained control of the Senate. And then lots of governorships switched hands, switched parties last night. Can you hang on with us for a second and talk a little bit more about what the elections meant nationally last night?
Absolutely.
All right. Appreciate it, Jeff. That's Jeff Poore joining us this morning on Mobile Mornings, post-election Wednesday style right here on FM Talk 106.5. Coming up, WKRG News. We've got your weather with Dr. Bill right here on FM Talk 106.5. We'll go over those local results as well later this hour in Mobile and Baldwin counties. Let you know exactly how each race broke down. You're listening to Mobile Mornings, FM Talk 106.5. AM 822 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Dalton Orwig and Mark Holliday in with you on this post-election Wednesday, joined by Jeff Poore, and we're talking midterms And Democrats gaining control of the House last night, Jeff. They now hold, as of this morning, with some races still outstanding, Democrats holding 222 seats in the House. Republicans hold 199. As of 5 o'clock this morning, 14 of those races still yet to be determined. Senate, they, I believe, have 52 Republicans holding the Senate seats right now, with 45 Democrats and three races still outstanding. So Republicans holding the Senate, Democrats flipping the House, and the governorships, some pretty big surprises there. Before the election, there were 33 Republican governors. After the election, now 25 Republican governors. Before the election, 16 Democrat governors, now 21. And there was one independent governor before the election, but as of now, still four races to be determined for governor. Ships. Just give me your general thoughts. I think most prognosticators had it going exactly like it did last night, with the Democrats winning the House and Republicans retaining the Senate. But the blue wave didn't really completely show up. More of a blue ripple, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. You didn't really see a wave election like we saw in 2010 after the midterm, after Obama was elected. Are the so-called six-year itch election in 2006, when Bush was kind of an unpopular president. You didn't see all these things change hands, but it just seemed to me going into yesterday that the Republicans did have the wind in their sails, that they were kind of trending in the right direction, which is where you want to be. But what I think really happened there is what you saw. The Senate was probably more of a beneficiary from the so-called Kavanaugh effect. I just think having a speaker like Paul Ryan in there that wasn't really out campaigning or raising money, and not really he was on the verge of retirement, and he wasn't really looking at going into a reelection mode. I think that really hurt House Republicans' efforts. I sort of think that had there been a Kevin McCarthy or someone else in that leadership role, things might be a little closer. Democrats probably still would have won, but that majority would not be, double-digit seats. It might be single-digit seats. And, when you have very, very, very thin majority margins like that, all it takes is a handful in a speaker's race to go against the Nancy Pelosi or whoever's up on the ballot for them to be House Speaker on the Democratic side. And I think that changes the whole dynamic, the whole makeup of the House. But I fully anticipate that presidential politics is going to reign supreme in the House of Representatives the next 2 years. I think they're going to do everything they can to dirty Trump up. You'll see a lot of hearings, subpoenas. It'll look a lot like we saw in the 2 years after the Republicans won in 2010. Not a whole lot got done. We were up until, the wee hours of the night to keep the lights on in the federal government. I think a lot of that kind of stuff is going to happen.
Oh boy!
But I think that's we kind of as a country, we've already kind of seen what mixed government looks like.
And I'm glad you brought her name up before I did. But House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, she did speak last night to some of her supporters. Said the Democrats would legislate in a bipartisan fashion and focus on issues like drug pricing and ethics reform. That was during her speech in Washington. She said, "Thanks to you, tomorrow will be a new day in America." And President, she said, actually called to congratulate her and emphasized the portion of her remarks that focused on bipartisanship. But I mean, this is gridlock city now, right? I mean, there's going to be so much infighting that I don't see how much gets done in Washington over the next 2 years.
Yeah, my suspicion is, though, that I don't know that they're going to be able to go all in like we've heard over the last couple of years with the resist stuff. I do think that Pelosi is pretty savvy, and she recognizes the idea that, the Republicans did this, and they got four more years of Obama as a result of it by being that. Just gridlock. I kind of wonder if she's going to be more trying to soften the tone of the Democrats back away from impeachment, because impeachment's not really good. It's not going to happen. You may get it through the House. Once it gets to the Senate, I think any kind of impeachment effort's dead on arrival. So I kind of wonder if, with the presidential politics at play, if Pelosi's not going to back off some of the rhetoric and try to play ball. I don't know if she has it in her, given her liberal strikes, but We'll see. That's kind of, I'm a little real skeptical that they're going to fulfill all these promises they made these last few months heading into this election last night.
Let's talk about some of these hotly contested Senate races that, of course, concluded last night, most of them. But you had in Texas, Senator Ted Cruz beating Beto O'Rourke. What was it, $70 million in fundraising for the Democrat there? And Ted Cruz came through with the win. Talk a little bit about that race.
Yeah, so Texas is one of these states that we've been told for years and years and years it was going blue, the suburbs, the voters in Dallas and Houston and San Antonio and those suburbs, they were going more Democrat. And with the growing Hispanic population, you know, and the influx from the border, that was going to make the state more Democrat. I think the fact that the race is so close between Beto O'Rourke and Ted Cruz, I think that tells you what you need to know about Texas. It's certainly one of these states Republicans really need to, like, really, you know, especially presidential politics, because they can't win Texas, then they probably can't win the presidency. But so what Republicans have got to pay special attention to, and I think that's the lesson from that last night. But it was probably a little bit closer than people expected. Did they just not get out the vote? I mean, what was it? Did they take it for granted that Cruz was going to win and Republicans just didn't show up? But people were really motivated on the O'Rourke side. Democrats were really fired up. You had a lot of star power coming in. You had all these things working in O'Rourke's favor. And he made that race a lot closer than it probably should have been. I don't know. I think all that kind of comes together. And that's what you saw happen in Texas last night.
Another vicious Senate race in Tennessee, Republican Marsha Blackburn, who had Trump's endorsement. She beat what was it, Bredston last night. And then three seats flipped in favor of the Republicans. Three Democratic incumbents lost. Indiana's Joe Donnelly, Missouri's Claire McCaskill, and North Dakota's Heidi Heitkamp. Pretty big wins because Trump was in all of those states.
Yeah, so I think this goes back to my point about, you know, the difference between Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan headed into last night. The Kavanaugh effect was really in full swing for Republicans in the U.S. Senate, that they were able to use that to really push themselves and gain seats. And I also think McConnell's one of these guys that the reason he's the Senate majority leader is because he is so effective raising money and getting funding these campaigns. We saw it with Luther Strange lost, but he was still a very well-funded candidate, right? I think that the Kavanaugh stuff helped them with their fundraising efforts, and it gave the Senate, Republicans in the Senate, some momentum. And I think it's what you saw kind of come to play, everything kind of working together. McConnell's staying. He's not resigning. He's in a whole different situation than what Paul Ryan had. So what I think you saw with those pickups, and this goes back to the Ted Cruz race, this goes back to all these Senate races, the Republicans did better than expected. That's what I think you saw there. It was the whole McConnell sort of machine getting and doing what they needed to do to make sure they kept the majority in the Senate.
Good stuff. Thank you for joining us this morning, Jeff. And you'll be back for Midday Mobile today, right?
Yes, I'll be back on live from Huntsville. Why Huntsville? Why not, right?
Why not? That should be the city motto. Where do people find you online?
It's twitter.com/Jeff_Poor.
All right, we appreciate it. And you can also catch his writings, Lanyap Weekly. He's on there. And also Breitbart referenced one of his stories earlier. You can check out online right now. More Mobile Mornings on the way. We'll break down some of these local races in Mobile and Baldwin counties right here on FM Talk 106.5. All right, 8:35, FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. And right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive, talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Dalton, how are you, big guy?
I'm doing great, and we've been talking about it a little bit already, but McConnell Automotive, the Black Friday GMC sale starts now, right? Not after Thanksgiving, but right now.
Hey, listen, it's confusing to even us, but the great news is it's legit, is we have Black Friday deals right now. And, Dalton, so I was telling you before we got on the air that I think it's only going to last for a few days.
Mm-hmm.
So what we want everybody to do that's listening is come to McConnell Automotive or go to our website, McConnellAutomotive.com, because, Dalton, these Black Friday deals, the great thing about acting now is you get the pick of the litter instead of waiting until the end of the month when you may not have the color you want or the equipment you want. So I'm talking about GMC Sierras and Yukons, the Acadias, everything's included. But what's really got people in a feeding frenzy is these last 15 or 20 GMC Sierras that we have, the 18 models. And Dalton, the 2019 truck has arrived, and it's the biggest, baddest thing on the road. So people are really taking advantage of looking at both trucks and picking which one works for them.
Yeah, I'm glad you said it. Those Sierras are bad. I love how those look, 2019s and the 2018 models for that matter. Well, thanks for joining us this morning, Mitch, and we'll check back with you again tomorrow.
Man, can't wait, Dalton. Y'all have a great day, buddy.
All right, that's Mitch McConnell. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street just east of I-65, or check them out online, McConnellAutomotive.com. 837 now, FM Talk 106.5, and it is a post-election Wednesday, so why don't we break down some of these local races here in Mobile and Baldwin counties. First, actually, the statewide races that were determined. Of course, Governor Kay Ivey, even though she's been in the governor's office, of course, that came after Robert Bentley was forced to step down. So this was her first election win as governor, and she became the first Republican female governor elected in Alabama. She got 60% of that vote over Walt Maddox. The lieutenant governor's race was decided. Will Ainsworth beat Will Boyd. Ainsworth got 61% of the vote for the first congressional district, and it was a clean sweep for all incumbents in Congress in Alabama, but Bradley Byrne beat Robert Kennedy Jr. 63% of the vote to 37% of the vote. In that second congressional district, Martha Roby, the Republican, beat Tabitha Isner, and Roby got 62% of the vote there. For Attorney General of Alabama, Steve Marshall beat Joseph Siegelman. Siegelman was the Democrat in that race, of course. Marshall got 59% of the vote. For Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, and this is one that that some of the political commentators we've talked to thought may have been the closest statewide race, and it ended up not being close at all. Tom Parker, the Republican, beats Bob Vance Jr. for Chief Justice, 58% of the vote to 42% of the vote. For Associate Justice of the Supreme Court, place 4, Jay Mitchell, Republican, beat Donna Wesson Smalley. Mitchell got 61% of the vote in that race. Secretary of State John Merrill retains his office. He beat Heather Milam 61% to 39%. And State Auditor remains Jim Ziegler's position. Ziegler beat Miranda Kareen Joseph 61% to 39%. A couple of the Public Service Commission races. Place number 1, Jeremy Oden, the Republican, beat Kara McClure. Oden had 60% of the vote to 40%, and Chip Beaker won place number 2, beating Kerry Powell 60% to 40%. So pretty consistent throughout the state, 60 yeah. to 40, just about Republicans win all of those races. Locally, some of these races, State Rep District 96, the Republican Matt Simpson won that race, beating out Maurice Horsey, the Democrat, and Matthew Shelby, the Libertarian. Simpson got 69% of the vote to Horsey's 25% and Shelby's 6%. In District 97, Adeline Clark, the Democrat, beat Stephen McNair. Clark got 65% of the vote to McNair's 35%. In District 99, former Mobile Mayor Sam Jones beat Charles Talbert, 73% of the vote to 27% of the vote. In District 104, Margie Wilcox, the Republican, beats Arlene Easley, 69% to 31%. State Senator District 32 over in Baldwin County, Chris Elliott beats Jason Fisher. That one was decided pretty early last night, Elliott getting 75% of the vote. State Senator District number 35, David Session, beats Tom Holmes, 68% of the vote for Sessions. And a couple more of these before we get through. State Rep District 64, Harry Shiver beats Amber Selman Lynn, 77% to 23%. In District 66, Alan Baker, the Republican, beats Susan Smith, 72% of the vote to 28% of the vote. District 94, Joe Faust, he's the Republican. He beat Danielle Mashburn-Myrick, 71% to 29%. A couple Board of Education votes in Baldwin County. District 1, Republican Michael Johnson beats Heather Karras, 76% to 24%. And in District 2, Andrea Lindsay, the Republican, beats Clyde Jones, the Democrat, and Michael Reeves, the Libertarian. Lindsay got 65% of the vote to Jones, 29%, and Reeves, 5%. Baldwin County Commission District 2, Joe Davis beats Amber Smith, 75% to 25%. Billy Joe Underwood won District 3 County Commission in Baldwin County. Underwood got 77% of the vote to Heather Brown's 23%. And then a couple of the special votes on both ballots in Mobile and Baldwin counties yesterday in Fairhope. Their special election that would shift the form of city government from being a mayor city council government to city council manager government, that failed to pass. So they will still have a mayor in Fairhope. Mm-hmm. That the no vote on that one, 58% to 42%. In Mobile, the pay-as-you-go road program, 74% voted for, so that also passed. And then all four amendments that were on the statewide ballot yesterday also passed. Like we talked with Jeff Poore earlier, he said the first two were get out the vote amendments.
Yeah, and that certainly makes sense. If the Republicans were the least little concerned, both the Ten Commandment Amendment and the Right to Life Amendment would certainly gin up the base enough to get out and get them to the polls.
Yeah, so. And that Amendment 1, which would allow the display of the Ten Commandments on public property and at schools as long as it meets the constitutional requirements, that passed with 72%. And then the what was labeled the anti-abortion or pro-life amendment number 2, that passed with 59% of the vote. That creates that state policy, doesn't change any laws, but adds the language to the Constitution.
Yeah, exactly.
Amendment number 3, that was regarding the University of Alabama Board of Trustees, and that passed with 60% of the vote. That allows board members to continue serving past the age of 70, and a couple other minor things that were in that amendment. Doesn't really mean a whole lot to us personally down here in Mobile County or Baldwin County. And then Amendment 4, which was sponsored by Mobile County State Senator Rusty Glover, that passed with 66% of the vote. And that is kind of a change to the current law. Special elections right now used to fill vacant House and Senate seats in Alabama. So what this decided was that if a seat becomes vacant after October 1st in the third year of a representative's four-year term, since that yes vote went through, special elections will no longer be used to fill those vacant seats in that situation if the seat becomes vacant after October 1st of the third year of the four-year term. So those seats will now be filled in the next general election. It means the seat could go as long as 14 months without being filled.
And we've seen special election after special election after special election in Alabama, and the cost of it is exorbitant for the state, not to mention the fact that, you know, with so many of these offices, you know, we go through a primary, a special election, and then, you know, 6 months later, we're going through the campaign again because the seat is up for, you know, re-election. Mm-hmm. And it's like, come on, people, give me a break.
Yeah, and also, you know, it doesn't happen often, but you have the surprise with the last special election. Exactly. With Doug Jones coming through with the win.
Yeah, I'm
sure that was on Republicans' minds voting for that yesterday as well. And one more Mobile race, can't believe I forgot to mention this one. Brandi Hambright beating Carlos Finley 52% to 48% of the vote. That's for the circuit court judge, place 6. That was the closest race locally here, it appears, 52% to 48%. And Finley actually held that lead, it seemed, for a long time last night when those last votes were counted. Hambright came through with the win, circuit court judge, place number 6. Nationally, some really interesting races, and we've been discussing this one this morning because I don't think it's over yet. It's actually not officially over, but the Georgia governor race that I believe was talked about as much or more than any other race for any other office in all of the United States, with just the dynamics of that. Stacey Abrams, the Democratic nominee for Georgia governor, facing Republican candidate Brian Kemp.
Right.
And, you know, racial tensions were stirred with that vote, with that race. And it's just been one of those vicious races through and through.
Right.
But as of this morning, 99% of the votes were reporting, and Kemp had a 50.6% of the vote to Abrams 48.5%. A third candidate had a couple more of those points, but Abrams not conceding yet.
Right,
she's refusing to concede.
And last night, when before Kemp had been able to get to over the 50 plus one, they were talking about a runoff.
Yeah,
another election.
Oh, fun!
Help.
Fun stuff.
Help.
How much money can the Democrats and Republicans spend in a month?
Look, they may have to do a recount, but it looks like Abrams is going to have to concede.
I think so. Governor's mansions changing all across America. Democrats picked up 7 governor seats from Republicans. Real interesting stuff happening across the nation, and we've been talking so much election. There's actually more national news that has nothing to do with elections. I'll break down some of that when we get back. And also, illegal cigarettes at a gas station in Mobile. Now, this isn't good, fellas. We're talking Mobile, Alabama, illegal cigarettes being sold. I'll tell you more about that in just a minute. Mobile Mornings rolls on. We wrap it up in the next segment right here. FM Talk 106.5. Thank you, Kane. 851 FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. I'm Dalton Orwig, Mark Holliday in studio as well. And this segment of the show brought to you by our friends over at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Local franchisee Trey Bennett and his crew there at 1-800-GOT-JUNK do great work in both Mobile and Baldwin counties. Let's say you have stacks and stacks of sample ballots stacked up in your house. like so many sample ballots that you can't move them and you don't need them anymore because we just had midterms last night.
Right.
Or maybe it's not sample ballots. You just have a bunch of other junk that's been hanging around the house for too long. You don't know where to take it. If it's too big to move or if it's junk, you don't know whether you're supposed to throw it in the dumpster or not. Just call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or go on the website, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. They've got you covered. And one of the best things about using Trey and the crew, you make your appointment and they show up exactly on time. They aren't like some of those companies that give you a four-hour window of when they may or may not show up. You call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or go to the website, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Set up your appointment. They'll be there exactly when you're expecting them. And the price you get quoted is the price you'll pay. Nothing but good reviews for 1-800-GOT-JUNK. So once again, to get a quote and set up your appointment, call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or go to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Speaking of websites, FMTalk1065.com, if you head there right now, the three big things. We have all of the Alabama election results linked through. Of course, our TV news partners over at WKRG Channel 5 do a great job with the election every year that there is an election. But we have their list there linked through if you want to check out each individual race for yourself. We have that linked through on our website, FMTalk1065.com. Second story on our three big things is about Governor Kay Ivey winning the race last night, becoming the first Republican female elected governor in Alabama. And also, Democrats gained the House control, but the GOP retains the Senate. So we've been talking election all morning long. Of course, the news in the rest of the world continues to roll on. It doesn't all stop.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it doesn't just stop because of the elections happening in the United States.
Didn't know that.
But Trump administration now saying that Russia has triggered new sanctions because they missed a deadline to swear off the use of chemical weapons. So a new round of sanctions has been triggered. That's what the State Department said in a notification to Congress yesterday. The State Department said that Russia had failed to give reasonable assurances that it did not use a Soviet-era nerve agent during that assassination attempt in England against that former Russian spy, Sergei Skripal. Moscow, of course, denied any involvement in that attack, but the Trump administration was required to certify whether Russia has complied with the terms of the Chemical and Biological Weapons Control and Warfare Elimination Act of 1991. So now the administration must choose three of six sanctions options. That might take several weeks for the new measures to go into effect, but they could be waived if the president determines that it's in the U.S.'s best interest to not trigger those new sanctions against Russia. And also, funny story here, maybe I'm the only one that thinks it's funny, but Mexico, their next interior minister, Senator Olga Sanchez, plans to propose a bill that would legalize recreational and medical marijuana use, as according to the documents that were posted on the Mexican Congress's website yesterday. Maybe I'm behind. I thought marijuana was basically already illegal in Mexico. I thought everything was legal in Mexico.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, if you travel to Tijuana, you might think that. Probably not.
Yeah. The senator there, Sanchez, said Mexico's objective cannot be to eradicate the consumption of a substance that as prevalent as cannabis is. This would mark the latest signal that President-elect Andres Manuel Lopez Obrador and his government will revise the country's battle against drug crime. I mean, they've got to do something, right? It's just crazy down there in Mexico. But if this bill is adopted, Mexico will become the third country after Uruguay and most recently Canada to legalize the drug, as many United States have already done. So no big surprises last night. If you've been listening to the pollsters leading into the election, Democrats pick up the House as of this morning with 14 races still yet to be decided. 222 seats in the House are held by Democrats, 199 held by Republicans. That'll make things, maybe interesting is the right word, fiery. I think we'll have a really interesting final 2 years of President Trump's first term, right, coming up with Democrats in control of the House. Who knows if Pelosi will retain control of the House? I know she's the House Minority Leader right now, but I believe the Democrats still have to decide on that.
A vote of the entire House to find out who is going to be elected Speaker. Of course, if you're the party in power, your candidate is going to be the one that wins, usually.
Usually.
I don't know if there's any real challenge to her being Speaker from within the Democrat ranks. I haven't heard of any.
Well, so, you know, I was watching her campaign, the accepting speech last night. She was accepting that the Democrats had flipped the House, and oh my goodness. I mean, maybe there's people out there, and there's Republicans that I can't stand to watch speak also, but Pelosi just grates my gears. And it, of course, a lot of it is what she says, but just the manner in which she I guess, controls the room. I can't stand it. But Republicans did retain the Senate as of this morning. I think three races still outstanding if we go ahead and call that Florida senator race. That would give the Republicans 52 seats in the Senate, and the Democrats right now have 45 with three races still to be determined. But in the governor races, that was a huge, huge flip for the Democrats last night. They picked up seven governorships in the elections. They flipped Wisconsin, which I thought was a really big surprise. Scott Walker failing to retain his role there in Wisconsin as governor. Kansas, they flipped to a Democrat governor. Maine, Michigan, Illinois, Nevada, and New Mexico. Georgia's race, they say, still too close to call. We've been talking about that one a lot this morning because Brian Kemp, the Republican, has the lead, and he has over 50% of the vote right now, right around 50.5%. With about 99% of the precincts reporting, or I think I've seen 100%, so they might still have some absentee ballots to go through. But his opponent, Democrat Stacey Abrams, who's led a pretty fiery campaign, looked like she might be able to pull off the upset. Right now, she's polling about two points back behind Kemp, but they're saying it's too close to call. Maybe a runoff coming in December. We'll have to follow that race throughout the rest of the day and the coming weeks. Before we let you go, though, I got to get through a little bit of this story here. In Mobile, a business now temporarily closed. Six people were arrested yesterday. That's following an 11-month investigation into the sale of stolen cigarettes. Yes, it's not Goodfellas. I don't know if they backed the truck up with cartons and cartons and cartons of black market cigarettes, but Mobile police say that these cigarettes were stolen from Dollar Generals around Mobile County. Police Chief Lawrence Batiste said, over the last 11 months, we've had over 100 crimes committed in this geographical area. That was during a press conference right outside of the Pride gas station where the arrests were made. Police say the station's property owner, Billy Hill, was given a letter last December advising him of drug activity. He never answered it, and the station continued to operate with no changes. So six arrests and a business closed down.
Where's Axel Foley when you need him?
Where is he? Great question. Laura Ingram Show coming up next. I'm sure she'll break down these midterms in some more detail. Then after that, Midday Mobile with Jeff Poor guest hosting from Huntsville. He'll give us the state of the land from North Alabama. Thanks. This is Mobile Mornings, FM Talk 106.5.